second Bible reading, which is 1 Samuel chapter 21, which is a bit further towards the front than our last reading. All right, 1 Samuel chapter 21. David went to the priest Ahimelech at Nob. Ahimelech was afraid to meet David, so he said to him, "Why are you alone and no one is with you?" David answered the priest Ahimelech, "The king gave me a mission, but he told me, 'Don't let anyone know anything about the mission I'm sending you on or what I have ordered you to do.' I have stationed my young men at a certain place. Now, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever can be found." The priest told him, "There is no ordinary bread on hand. However, there is consecrated bread, but the young men may eat it only if they have kept themselves from women." David answered him, "I swear that women are being kept from us, as always, when I go out to battle. The young men's bodies are consecrated even on an ordinary mission. So, of course, their bodies are consecrated today." So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, for there was no bread there except the bread of the presence that had been removed from the presence of the Lord. When the bread was removed, it had been replaced with warm bread. One of Saul's servants, detained before the Lord, was there that day. His name was Doeg, the Edomite, chief of Saul's shepherds. David said to Ahimelech, "Do you have a spear or sword on hand? I didn't even bring my sword or my weapons, since the king's mission was urgent." The priest replied, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here, wrapped in cloth behind the ephod. If you want to take it for yourself, then take it, for there isn't another one here." "There's none like it," David said. "Give it to me." David fled that day from Saul's presence and went to King Achish of Gath. But Achish's servants said to him, "Isn't this David, the king of the land? Don't they sing about him during their dances? Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." David took this to heart and became very afraid of King Achish of Gath, so he pretended to be insane in their presence. He acted like a madman around them, scribbling on the doors of the city gate and letting saliva run down his beard. "Look, you can see this man is crazy," Achish said to his servants. "Why did you bring him to me? Do I have such a shortage of crazy people that you brought this one to act crazy around me? Is this one going to come into my house?" Here ends the reading.
Got any men with beards here that would like to act out the... Hi everyone, if you don't know me, my name's Brian Heath, the Senior Minister, and it's great to have a few visitors here for Father's Day, I assume, or for other reasons. I hope you're encouraged by our time together. Well, we continue our sermon series today on 1 Samuel with David still on the run. We considered last week choices that David and Jonathan had to make. David was the Lord's anointed, the little c Christ. How would Saul and Jonathan respond to him? We considered such choices in the light of choices that we have to make concerning the Lord Christ, the big C Christ. And we looked at 2 points. Firstly, we are to fear the coming king. And secondly, we are to hate the king's enemies. Now, whilst the temptation is there to fear those who oppose to us in the Christian faith, the New Testament makes it crystal clear that we are not to fear those who can harm the body, but we are to fear the one who can throw both body and soul into hell. Secondly, if we are aligned with the king, then the king's enemies are our enemies, and no matter what the cost, we are to further the king's purposes through obedience to him and opposition to his enemies. Well, today we're going to look at 2 further points concerning the king. We are to serve God's chosen king, and we are to trust in the king's provision. We'll be continuing the action in chapter 21 of 1 Samuel, and please have that open, because last week I got Tim to read out the verses we were looking at. This week we're all going to read them out together. So from the CSB version, so the Pew Bibles, and both large and small print. So if you've got that version, please read along at the appropriate times. But before we do so, let me pray. Our Father God, we pray that as we pick up the action today and look at this passage, which at first we might find a little bit strange and think, what can we make of this? We pray that you will teach us, challenge us, equip us to serve you faithfully. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, firstly, we are to serve God's chosen king. We see in chapter 21 that David flees to Nob and goes to the priest Ahimelech. David is in need of bread, so he asks for 5 loaves or whatever can be found. Now the priest says there is only consecrated bread on hand, and they can have it if they have kept themselves free from women. Now in this, there are 2 conundrums. Firstly, why does he say they can have it if they have kept themselves from sexual relations with women? Well, the Levitical law says that sexual intercourse temporarily rendered a person unclean. Now, we may ask why, for the scriptures tell us in many places that sex within marriage and the birth of children are good gifts from God. Well, the reason is that in the symbolic system of the law in Leviticus, that the loss of life liquids, blood and semen, symbolised death. And so the loss of such fluids rendered persons unclean until they had recovered from the loss. Well, secondly, why did he offer the holy bread when it was only supposed to be offered to priests and in a holy place? He was particular about the law when it came to sexual relations, but he seems to be lax regarding the law here by offering the bread. He seemed to be concerned with just one aspect of the law and not another. Well, before considering the reason, let's follow the action. And so let's read together verse 5 of chapter 21. Together, David answered him, "I swear that women are being kept from us, as always when I go out to battle. The young men's bodies are consecrated, even on an ordinary mission, so of course their bodies are consecrated today." Now, David's story about having young nearby is probably not true. He says this, that there are men nearby, because he doesn't fully trust Ahimelech and he wants him to think that he has an army of men with him. So he says, of course the men, imaginary men, have been kept from women, as they always are on my missions. And so the priest responds in verse 6 by giving him the bread. Well, let's return to why. The answer lies, I think, in who it is that is making the request. He does have concern for the law, as seen in his comment about the men and sexual relations. But David isn't just anybody. He has a reputation, and he is to receive the food as befits a king. So here was Ahimelech serving God's chosen king. Now, we don't know fully why he did it, but that he did it is important, for in that action he was serving God's king. And so we read verse 8 in a minute. David was in need of food, but we soon discover that wasn't the only reason David came a-knocking on the priest's door. So let's read verse 8. David said to Ahimelech, "Do you have a spear or sword on hand? I didn't even bring my sword or my weapons, since the king's mission was urgent." Now, David is making up that story about the urgent mission, etc. There is no comment here in the passage, one way or the other, about the morality of that, which is interesting. But what we do see is that David was not only hungry, but was defenceless. And he knew, methinks, what was in Ahimelech's possession. For he replies in the first part of verse 9, together, "The priest replied, 'The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, is here, wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you want to take it for yourself, then take it, for there isn't another one here.'" Now, how this sword came to be in his possession, we don't know. The last we heard of it was when he used it to chop off Goliath's head after he had killed him with the stone. But we know that David certainly wanted it, for he responds in the last part of verse 9, "There's none like it, give it to me." Like a child that's defiant, "Give it to me, I want that." Well, interestingly, 1,000 years after this day when David came to Nob, on a Sabbath day, Jesus was walking through the grain fields and his disciples plucked and ate some of the grain. And the Pharisees challenged him, saying, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day?" And Jesus replied in Luke 6, 3 and 4, "Haven't you read what David and those who were with him did when he was hungry? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat?" Jesus didn't get drawn into what was and wasn't lawful on the Sabbath, as they would have liked, but instead he replied by claiming to be one like David. David was God's chosen king. And so Ahimelech served God's chosen king. But in Jesus, something greater than David has come. Jesus claims an authority right up there with the law of God. Now, the Pharisees hated Jesus and plotted to kill him. They were right up there with Saul. The question for us is, will we serve God's chosen king, even though he is still despised and opposed by many? Or will we be like Saul and the Pharisees? Well, that's the first point. We are to serve God's chosen king, no matter what it might cost us. And secondly, we are to trust in the king's provision. We've seen God's provision just now in providing the food and in providing the sword for David. And this provision will continue as we pick up the story from verse 10. David is still in desperate danger from Saul. And David's next action shows us that this is so. For verse 10, David fled that day from Saul's presence and went to King Achish of Gath. Now, where is Gath? Whose territory is it in? Tim gave it away at the start of the service. Where's Gath? What territory? That's where Goliath is. Yeah, the Philistines, and it was Goliath's hometown. So what's he doing going to Gath? Was David mad? Was he reckless? Was he bold? Or a combination of all three? It got him out of Saul's territory, but right into the territory of the Philistines and indeed to Goliath's hometown. It would seem that he feared Saul more than he feared the Philistines. The statement that he went to the king probably means that he came into his territory and not that he went and knocked on his front door. You'd be crazy to do that. It wasn't long, though, before he was recognised. Verse 11. So let's read that. "But Achish's servants said to him," together, "'Isn't this David, the king of the land? Don't they sing about him during their dances? Saul has killed his thousands, but David his tens of thousands.'" Incredibly, they describe David as the king of the land. And as Ahimelech would have known, David was to be this king. And in verse 12, we are told David took these words to heart and was much afraid of the king of Gath. To be identified as the king would be to have a mark on your head as one to take down, especially given David's history. Much afraid of the king of Gath. This is the only place in 1 and 2 Samuel where we are told that David was afraid. He wasn't afraid of Goliath, the big brute, the uncircumcised Philistine, as David told him. He wasn't afraid of the Philistine armies that he went out to battle. And we're not even told that he was fearful of Saul, although no doubt he was. But here we are told, much afraid of the king of Gath. And we see shortly that the Philistines seized him and brought him to the king. Now, David wrote about this experience in the Psalms. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it exciting when we are told what historical events particular psalms relate to. And we have that with Psalm 56 that Tim read out at the start of our time together. And it's called a Miktam of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. Now, no one really knows what a Miktam is. Maybe it's a top of the range psalm, I don't know. But the important bit is that it was written about this episode in 1 Samuel. And in this psalm, David speaks of the enemies threatening him. The enemies in Gath, but also Saul back in his home territory. So keep a finger or a piece of paper in 1 Samuel 21, but let's look up Psalm 56 halfway through your Bible. And let's read verses 1 and 2, and then we'll jump to 5 and 6. I'll let you know when we go to 5. Everyone got it? Psalm 56. All right, together, verses 1 and 2. Be gracious to me, God, for a man is trampling me. He fights and oppresses me all day long. My adversaries trample me all day, for many arrogantly fight against me. And then verse 5, they twist my words all day long. All their thoughts against me are evil. They stir up strife, they lurk, they watch my steps while they wait to take my life. Well, sorry, stop there, thanks. And he wrote that when the Philistines seized him in Gath. You can see that as the title. Behind these words are those experiences from 1 Samuel 19 through to chapter 21. One attempt after another to kill him. Their desires are for evil. Their plots are wicked. Now, given that David was the Lord's anointed, their hostility is very wicked indeed. David is much afraid of Achish. And in this psalm, David speaks of this fear. So I'll read verses 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Now, people respond to fear in various ways. I don't know how you respond to fear, but we're told that David's response was to trust God. Now, trust here is despite how one is emotionally. You might be emotional in different ways, but this is a conscious decision when one is fearful or whether they're at peace or calm or agitated. It's a deliberate act to trust in God no matter what. Now, notice his trust is not just the last throw of the dice or a stab in the dark. No, this trust is based on the words that he has received, the words that he praises. For David, recall, the words he received included those very special words back in chapter 16. Arise, anoint him, For this is he. He is God's chosen one. He is the one to be king. God's word had said, this is the one who would be given the kingdom. And if that is the case, what can flesh do to him? If God was for him, who could be against him? To use the words of Romans. Well, David continues in the psalm. I hope you've still got it open, in verses 8 and 9. And we can read those together. You yourself have recorded my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will retreat on the day when I call. This I know, God is for me. David's trust continues to be from God's word to him. He was the Lord's anointed, the one after God's own heart. And this trust in God's word is a repeated refrain in the psalm. So I'll read verses 10 and 11. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I will not be afraid. What can mere humans do to me? When David was afraid, when he was much afraid, his response was to put his trust in the God whose word he believed. David had escaped trouble in the past by daring and skill on the battlefield, but his strategy this time is quite different. This is what he did. We're back in chapter 21 now. Let's read verse 13. So if you haven't got it, flick back there, 1 Samuel 21. Let's read verse 13. So he pretended to be insane in their presence. He acted like a madman around them, scribbling on the doors of the city gate and letting saliva run down his beard. Quite an Academy Award performance. It worked brilliantly. Let's read verses 14 and 15. Look, you can see the man is crazy, Achish said to his servants. Why did you bring him to me? Do I have such a shortage of crazy people that you brought this one to act crazy around me? Is this one going to come into my house? Achish had pity for David and was repulsed at this very same time. Achish wanted this disgusting creature out of his sight, and this is how David escaped from Gath. So we read in chapter 22, verse 1. So David left Gath and took refuge in the cave of Adullam. Achish said that he was surrounded by madmen, fools if you like. Well, he showed how right he was that David, Philistine enemy number one, escaped by just a bit of dribbling and a bit of graffiti on the walls. David, for his part, well, he figured it's better to be crazy in the court of a Philistine king than to be in the court of a crazy Israelite king, if you got the drift. Well, David, at the end of Psalm 56, said in verse 13, "For you rescued me from death, even my feet from stumbling, to walk before God in the light of life." David expressed his confidence that God had delivered his anointed from the threats in Gath, just as he had delivered him repeatedly from Saul. And this deliverance led to the praise of another psalm, Psalm 34. And the title to this psalm indicates that it belongs to the occasion when David changed his behaviour before Abimelech, which is another name for Achish. And so Psalm 34, verses 1 to 8, which I'll read. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. Proclaim the Lord's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the person who takes refuge in him. Friends, like David, we too have times to fear. For as David was opposed by many, so too was David's greater son, the Lord Jesus, and even more so. And if you are his follower, don't be surprised when opposition comes your way. As 1 Peter tells us in chapter 4, verse 12, dear friends, don't be surprised when the fiery ordeal comes among you to test you as if something unusual were happening to you. No, trouble and fear and opposition, we should not be surprised when we experience such things. Yes, don't be surprised and respond in the way that David and the Lord Jesus did by trusting in your King. For as that passage goes on in verse 16, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify in that name. So then let those who suffer according to God's will and trust themselves to a faithful Creator while doing what is good. So friends, we are to serve God's chosen King, and we are to trust in the King's provision. As we serve God's chosen King, and as we trust in the King's provision, we are not promised protection in the way that David was, but we have his promises on which to draw. His promise that his kingdom will not pass away, and that his people will reach their eternal home. So as we continue our journey, serving God's chosen King and trusting his provision, when doubts and fears come our way, may we, like David, say with full assurance, when I am afraid, I will trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Amen.
Stand.